Good morning. It's April 15th and this is your daily brief in Australian news. Here's everything you need to know. Sydney stands still today, united in grief and solidarity. As the city observes a day of mourning for the victims of a horrific stabbing attack at Bondi Junction Westfield. In an act that has left the nation in shock, Joel Couchy, armed with a knife, embarked on a deadly spree last Saturday afternoon, claiming the lives of 6 individuals and leaving 12 others injured, among them a 9-month-old baby named Harriet. The assailant, who had a history of mental illness and had been living itinerantly for several years, specifically targeted women during his rampage. This detail, drawn from video evidence of the attack, has prompted police to delve deeper into understanding Couchy's motives. Tragically, a security guard who attempted to stop the violence was also among those killed. Currently, 8 victims are in stable condition, with 2 fighting for their lives in the intensive care unit at St. Vincent's Hospital. Baby Harriet, after undergoing surgery, is reported to be in serious but stable condition. In response to this national tragedy, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has called for flags across Australia to be flown at half-mast, a gesture that underscores the gravity of the incident and honours the victims. This act has sparked a broader conversation about mental health, emphasising the urgent need for enhanced support systems and intervention strategies to prevent such tragedies in the future. As the community grapples with this unspeakable violence, New South Wales Health has extended its deepest sympathies to the families of the victims and highlighted the availability of support services for those affected. The investigation into the motivations behind this devastating attack continues as a nation mourns and looks for ways to heal and prevent future acts of violence. In a heart-wrenching incident at a Sydney shopping mall, a day of joy turned into tragedy, claiming the life of 25-year-old Dawn Singleton amidst her wedding preparations. This devastating event not only took the life of a young woman looking forward to her future, but also affected several others, leaving a community in mourning. Dawn Singleton had just purchased her wedding dress and was shopping for makeup for her special day when she became a victim of a mass stabbing. Her fiancé, New South Wales police officer Ashley Wildey, experienced the unimaginable horror of responding to the scene, only to discover that his fiancé was among the victims. The attack also claimed the lives of Yishuan Cheng, Pikiria Dachia, security guard Faraz Tahir, architect and mother Jade Young, and first-time mother Ash Good. In a particularly tragic turn, Ash Good's 9-month-old daughter Harriet was injured in the attack and required emergency surgery. The community's response to this tragedy has been a powerful testament to human solidarity. People have come together to lay flowers and offer support to the families and individuals affected by this senseless act of violence. In these trying times, it's crucial to remember that support is available. For anyone struggling in the aftermath of this tragedy, organizations like Lifeline and Beyond Blue are ready to help. Their commitment to providing assistance during such dark times underscores the importance of community and mutual support in the face of unimaginable loss. In a courtroom drama that has captivated the nation, Justice Michael Lee is poised to deliver a landmark decision in the defamation case brought by Bruce Learman. At the heart of this case is a broadcast where Brittany Higgins accused an unnamed colleague of raping her, a claim that Learman says defamed him. This high-stakes legal battle has not only drawn attention due to its sensitive nature, but also because of its hefty price tag, costing at least $10 million. It's been characterized as a quasi-criminal trial, with the courtroom seeing testimonies from Learman, Higgins, and Lisa Wilkinson, among others. The trial has rigorously examined whether Learman was indeed identified in the broadcast and if the truth defense put forward by the respondents holds any water. Moreover, it's delved into the actions of Network 10 and Lisa Wilkinson, questioning the reasonableness of airing Higgins's allegations of sexual assault. The decision, set to be announced at 10:15 a.m. in Sydney, will not only clarify these crucial points, but also determine the potential damages Lehrman could receive if the defences fail. With the damages for non-economic loss capped at $459,000, the outcome of this case could set a significant precedent. As the legal community and the public alike await this decision, the federal court has made the unusual move to live stream the judgment on its YouTube channel, ensuring that this pivotal moment is accessible to all. This case not only underscores the complexities of defamation law, but also highlights the broader societal implications of how allegations of sexual assault are handled in the media. In a disturbing revelation from Melbourne, the story of Leanne Mackey, a 53-year-old woman with cerebral palsy, exposes a grave issue within a care facility run by Scope. Her ordeal of mistreatment and abuse at the hands of her carers came to light through the determined efforts of her parents, Rob and Lorraine Mackey, who placed a covert camera in her room. What they uncovered was a shocking series of events marked by bullying, vile behaviour, and physical abuse. This discovery prompted a swift vow from NDIS Minister Bill Shorten to impose life bans on the involved carers, emphasising the severity of the misconduct. Following the exposure of these heinous acts, Scope took immediate action by reporting the abuse to Victoria Police, which led to the dismissal of the carers and the initiation of legal proceedings. Despite the carers initially pleading guilty to assault, they later appealed the decision, resulting in sentences of community work orders instead of jail time. This outcome has left the Mackey family, especially Leanne, with deep psychological scars and a sense of injustice over the comparatively lenient punishment meted out to those responsible for the abuse. In response to the incident, Scope's acting CEO issued an apology to the Mackey family, expressing deep distress over the events that transpired under their watch. This case has not only highlighted the need for strict accountability and vigilance in the disability care sector, but also serves as a stark reminder of the importance of reporting abuse. It underscores the challenges faced by vulnerable individuals in care settings and the collective responsibility to protect them from harm. In a bold move towards sustainability, two former Fortescue executives, Michael Masterman and Bart Kolodziejczyk, have launched Element Zero. Their vision? To revolutionise Australia's iron ore industry by building a $2.1 billion green iron ore processing plant in the Pilbara, aiming to slash carbon emissions within 5 years. This ambitious project has already secured $10 million in seed funding, with plans to raise an additional $50 to $100 million to bring their innovative technology to life. Element Zero's groundbreaking electrochemical process promises to reduce iron ore to pure iron, drastically cutting down the carbon footprint associated with traditional iron ore processing methods. The proposed facility, pending government approval, is set to be located in the Bootery Strategic Industrial Estate near Port Hedland, a strategic choice that underscores the project's significance to the Australian iron ore sector. But Element Zero's vision extends beyond iron. The company is exploring zero-emission solutions for converting other metal ores to metals, engaging with potential investors and customers in Japan and South Korea. They're also eyeing potential grants from the United States through the Inflation Reduction Act and considering venturing into the production of green silicon. This initiative represents a critical step in the global effort to decarbonize the iron ore industry, especially as it faces mounting international pressure to reduce its environmental impact, with China, as the largest importer of iron ore, closely watching. Element Zero's project could not only transform the industry, but also set a new standard for environmental responsibility in mining. This has been your daily brief in Australian news. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.